Blog Talk Radio.
So thankful and so excited. You don't never see me catch off like this before very often, but I tell you, I am so thankful for that opportunity. And before I get into the actual show that we're going to cover, I'm going to bring on my co-host tonight, John the Virginian. John, I'm just wanting to actually I'm going the opposite direction there, but John, I just wanted to really I'm wanting to celebrate this verdict tonight because what this has meant for us for the last 2 years. You know what I'm talking about, my brother?
Yeah, it's amazing that it's a shock when justice is actually served because we've seen so, you know, few examples of it. I think the thing that's, you know, the thing that's really telling is that we are shocked, we're elated. This should have been a slam dunk. Should have never been a question. As a matter of fact, this should never have even gone to trial. It should have been thrown out. It was such an obvious case of self-defense. But, you know,
well,
the political atmosphere that we live in is...
Well, yeah. You've got those that are socialist and Marxist and communist that is trying to take over our country, and that includes taking over our judicial system, which, you know, they've been trying to do this for some time, and they thought they could get away with it with the media's help. And now I think that, and I say, Kyle Rittenhouse, man, your lawyers, you got some sharp grade A-level lawyers. They need to do – remember what happened to Sandman? Do you remember the Catholic teenager there at in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah,
and
he was
what
from a Catholic
there?
High school, and he was from a Catholic high school in Covington, Kentucky. And all he was doing is standing there. And this, you know, this Indian guy comes up in his face, starts banging a drum in his face. You want to talk to me about who was the aggressor in that instance? It was obviously the Indian guy who was the aggressor. And yet they smeared him. They dragged him through the mud. His family sued CNN and the Washington Post. And, you know, for every Nick Sandman that's out there, for every Kyle Rittenhouse that's out there, you know, God bless you for every one of you that's fighting back. You know, you represent 1,000 people who can't fight back. So it's
Amen.
Bigger than just those. It's bigger than just those two kids, Donald. It's much bigger.
It is, and that's why I'm in a celebrative mood tonight. I changed the beginning of this because what I'm going to be talking about here. I'll be presenting my point here, and then I'll bring John back on because what this means, what the intent of the show is. But the news just came on board. I just got the news just a little while ago. My wife was just she was celebrative too. We're kind of almost dancing in the house here. Can you imagine that? And how we're so happy about this. So John, give me a few minutes here to get back into this, what we're actually talking mm-hmm. about tonight, because I know that you're going to want to, you know, you're going to have a lot to say about this. So give me about just a few minutes, and I'll bring you right back here. Very powerful, very important here. So but I'm going to get started right now on this. All right, so I got John hanging on, and what this is I'm responding to Matthew Vann. V-A-N-N. He's a writer for ABC News, and he wrote this article called Catholic Bishops Approve New Guidance on Communions for Pro-Abort Politicians. And so what I did is I responded to his article. The U.S. Catholic Bishops, and this is what he says, the U.S. Catholic Bishops on Wednesday this past week overwhelmingly approved a controversial. Now, why is this controversial, first of all? I mean, yes, I am going after this article, but approved a controversial teaching document on who should receive Holy Communion that many believe was aimed at President Joe Biden and other Catholic politicians who support abortion rights. But the document passed by a vote of 222-8 at the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops meeting in Baltimore. And my question, who are those eight that, where's all this coming from? But anyway, in the document, they don't mention Biden or any of these politicians by name, but okay, I understand that they didn't mention it, but it kind of goes without saying. And here's my response to that particular one. The U.S. Catholic bishops as shepherds guarding the flock, protecting the faithful from moral corruption, has the responsibility to hold fast to the teaching of the Catholic Church. We are not to compromise with evil just because opponents to the faith have a political agenda. We must have courage to lead by example, as St. Peter called for, 1 Peter chapter 5, 1-4. So I exhort the presbyters among you as a fellow presbyter and witness to the sufferings of Christ and one who has a share in the glory to be revealed. Tend the flock of God in your midst, overseeing not by constraint but willingly, as God would have it, not for shameful profit but eagerly. Do not lord it over those assigned to you, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. That should be the mindset of our shepherds, our bishops today, and what the first pope actually said there. Going back to Mr. Vine, Matthew Van, he says, it, the document, appeared, however, to empower individual priests to deny communion to pro-abortion rights politicians should they encounter them. And then he quotes the document saying, it is with the special responsibility of the diocesan bishop, to work to remedy situations that involve public actions at variance with the visible communion of the church and the moral law. That's what he's quoting the document. My response, Pope Francis is using the authority of the bishops to curtail some of these problems facing the church. The situation concerning the Latin Mass is an example. The Pope is not doing away with the Latin Mass, but he believes abuses can be handled more readily at the local level. Same thing here. The bishop should be giving guidance to the priests to teach and guide the parishes at the local level. The church is universal, and its teachings are clear, but its outreach goes down to the lowest level. Seminaries are critical in this process, as priests are given the most important foundations to pass down the teachings of the faith, the Catholic faith. And I'm quoting here 1 Timothy chapter 4, 11 through 16, where St. Paul is writing to Timothy, command and teach these things. Let no one have contempt for your youth, but set an example for those who believe in speech, conduct, love, purity. Until I arrive, attend to the readings, exhortation, and teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was conferred on you through the prophetic word with the imposition of hands of the presbyteriate. Be diligent in these matters, be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to everyone. Attend to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in both tasks, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and those who listen to you. And so that's what I, to that point. Again, this is coming from Mr. Van, V-A-N-N. The vote is the culmination of year-long debate between America's largest conservative bishops and the Vatican about whether punitive measures should be taken against public officials who are at odds with the church's teaching on abortion. Well, my response, since 1973 with the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, nearly 60 million unborn children have been sacrificed to the gods of this world. That is only in the United States. This year alone, there have been 37,533,929 and counting, it was counting one after one after one, just as, I mean, every second it seems like. But that's where we were at when I wrote this article. And counting by the second worldwide. This is by far the largest destruction of man in history, and the Catholic Church is clearly losing the political battle. That is why our church leadership must be courageous and be strong for the defense of life in all the world. Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 15, verses 22 through 29. Then the apostles and presbyters, in agreement with the whole church, decided to choose representatives and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. The ones chosen were Judas, who was called Barsabbas, and Silas, leaders among the brothers. This is the letter delivered by them, the apostles and the presbyters, your brothers, to the brothers in Antioch, Syria, and Sicilia, of Gentile origin. Greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number who went out without any mandate from us have upset you with their teachings and disturbed you with peace of mind, they disturbed their peace of mind, we have with one accord decided to choose representatives and to send them to you along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have dedicated their lives to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are sending Judas and Silas, who will also convey the same message by word of mouth. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us not to place on you any burden beyond these necessities, namely to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, from blood, from meats of strangled animals, and from unlawful marriage. If you keep free of these, you will be doing what is right. Farewell. And that's just the whole point about the Catholic Church. Now, going back to Mr. Van again, Biden only, the nation's second Catholic, and I put Catholic in quotation marks, president, who has said his personal views were a private matter, has openly professed his faith throughout his political career, diligently attending Sunday Mass, infusing speeches with scripture, and wearing his late son Bill's Biden's rosary beads. Okay? So, all right. So that's what he's saying. Well, my response, consider Biden's Catholicism, okay? You need to really look at that. He's what I call, at best, a cafeteria Catholic. Yet he pushes his private matter on all people. He has avowed to undo the Hyde Amendment, which protects pro-life medical professionals from being forced to participate in abortions and utilize everyone's tax dollars to fund abortion. A Catholic is deadly wrong when they choose to be a cafeteria Catholic, especially where mortal sin is involved. Titus chapter 3, verse 9 through 11 says, avoid foolish arguments, genealogies, rivalries, and quarrels about the law, for they are useless and futile. After a first and second warning, break off contact with a heretic, realizing that such a person is perverted and sinful, and stands self-condemned. Well, this is then again, this is what I was referring to again to Mr. Van's article. He says, after his meeting last month with Pope Francis before the G20 summit and amid criticism from conservative bishops, Biden said that the Pope told him that he should continue receiving communion and said the Pope called him a quote unquote good Catholic. Well, my response, I think context is very important here. The media was not permitted to cover the event with the Pope. Francis did grant Biden, he did not grant him a Mass, which would be under normal circumstances with a Catholic VIP to be customary. Consider how much Biden lies. How can he be believed on something the Pope would not support, especially when the American bishops are criticizing him? Would the Pope be trying to reach out to Biden on the importance of the Mass and the Rosary? Possibly, but the media has not permitted they did not cover that meeting. So Pope Francis is not condemning, but being a pastor, that's what he's supposed to be, a pastor. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of equal value to ours through the righteousness of God, of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be yours in abundance through knowledge of God and of Christ Jesus our Lord. His divine power has bestowed on us everything that makes for life and devotion through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and power. Through these he has bestowed on us the precious and very great promises, so that through them you may come to share in the divine nature. So basically I'm saying that's what the Pope was trying to be. He was trying to do something that was pastoral. This is going back to Mr. Van. Some bishops, however, see things differently, citing bishops' vocal public support of abortion rights as a key reason why clarification on those on who can receive communion is necessary. Prominent Catholic politicians, including Biden and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, have typically been careful about where they attend Mass so as to avoid controversy. In other words, they're looking for priests that they can, that's really bad. That's messed up. Yeah, exactly. Well, while Cardinal Wilton Gregory of the Archdiocese of Washington has said that he doesn't plan to deny Biden communion. He has publicly questioned whether the president is living up to Catholic Church teaching on controversial issues, including abortion. Well, my response to that is that it is a very important point. What about the teenager who is influenced by these actions of these so-called Catholic politicians? The role of the bishops are to protect the innocence of our youth. We should not sacrifice them for the agenda of the liberal left, which is not Christian at all, but continues to seek to challenge our Christian roots. The recent election for governor in the state of Virginia centered on whether parents had any rights to be involved with the education of their children in public schools. That was a huge win against the far left. Parents should be involved with their children's education, and concerns of them should be what's being taught as agendas in America. That should be a concern, too. Consider 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unjust will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor boy prostitutes, nor sodomites. And think about this, if you recall what happened over there, it was a boy who was a transgender, went into a bathroom and raped a girl, and they tried to hide it and conceal it. Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about here, but with boy prostitutes, nor sodomites, homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards or slanderers, nor robbers will inherit the kingdom of God. That is what some of you used to be, but now you have had yourselves washed. They've been baptized. They've been washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. And then going back to, and I'm getting close to the end here because I do want to get John's perspective on all this, but I think this is important. So, and I'm kind of getting back to where I was. This is what Mr. Van says. Well, the Catholic Church teaches and has taught that life, human life, begins at conception. Gregory told journalists in the National Press Club in September, so the president is not demonstrating Catholic teaching, and that's an unquote. Well, the document does not mention Biden or other pro-abortion rights Catholic politicians by name. Its intent is to issue a stern rebuke of individuals, especially of public officials, who present themselves for communion after breaking with church teaching on fundamental issues. In a leaked draft of the document before the conference, the bishops reportedly wrote, there are some sins, and he quotes this right, there are some sins, however, that do rupture the communion we share with God in the church. As the church has consistently taught, a person who receives Holy Communion while in a state of mortal sin not only does not receive the grace of the sacrament, he or she commits the sin of sacrilege by failing to show the reverence due to the body and blood of Christ. That's what the document said. And my response is, the quotation of the document in itself is very important. Here and should be this is where the quote comes from, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 34. For I received, this is coming from St. Paul, for I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night he was handed over took bread and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also the cup, after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will have to answer for the body and blood of the Lord. A person should examine himself and so eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are ill and infirm, and a considerable are dying. There's more to that, but it's just amazing what the – I'm just going to – some more that he actually put in his article. An official of the Bishops' Conference insisted that they are staying true to their mission of defending church teaching, pointing to the conference's outspoken disagreement with the Trump administration policies regarding undocumented migrants. And that's a whole different question there, which I get into in the article, but I'm not going to go there here because we do believe in strong borders. So does the Vatican, and so does heaven. Heaven has strong borders too. Going back to, according to, and this is coming from Mr. Van again, according to a Pew Research Center survey, many Catholics, American Catholics, are divided about whether Biden should be denied communion over his support of abortion rights. Majority of U.S. Catholic adults say Biden should be allowed to receive communion during Mass, while nearly 30% says Biden should not be allowed. And I do respond to that. I hear this kind of rhetoric. This is coming from me. I hear this kind of rhetoric quite often, as it is reported that 70% of Catholics reject the teaching on the Eucharist. Among practicing Catholics, it is much higher. And those who follow the Church's teachings, when they conduct such a survey, they are talking with people who are not attending Mass. They're maybe once or twice a year at that. They are being grouped as if they are part of the Church. Those who are part of the Church and practice their faith, they believe that Jesus is and his Holy Catholic Church and what it teaches. And so that is very important. And another point that they're saying here that he speaks of, Mr. Van says, the divide underscores a growing tension among American Catholics about who they see as the true authority on matters of faith and what they should believe. The U.S. bishops and Pope Francis see things in very different ways, he says. Theological professor, this is what he says. American Catholics, for the first time in many decades, have to decide if they want to follow Pope Francis or U.S. bishops, which is new because U.S. bishops are traditionally very Roman, loyal to the Pope. And that's my point. My response to that, this is a heretical perspective. As a Catholic, we follow the Bishop of Rome, and so do the successors of Peter and those bishops in union with him who hold the keys to the kingdom. The local bishops are in union with the Pope. We must pray for the bishops who are under attack from all sides. The Church from the very beginning have been challenged by those who reject authority. And so this is basically, I just wanted to give a quick snapshot of why it is important for the Catholic Church to hold the line, not only protecting the integrity of the sacrament, but for the souls of the lost because of the confusion of bad examples. And so at this point in time, I'm going to bring on John Benko. And I got to also, I believe, that's Terry from Texas. John, what do
you
think about
that? Yes, sir, it's
me. Hey, Terry. Terry and John. First, John, what did you think about that? You've been there from the beginning.
What an outrageous lie this person is trying to perpetuate. He basically, the gist of this article is he's trying to perpetuate the lie that the Pope is pro-abortion. I mean, it's outrageous. And what is he based out on? What is his evidence? Well, Joe Biden said that the Pope said he was a good Catholic. I want to hear the Pope say it. I want to hear the Pope say that it's okay with him that Joe Biden receives Mass, receives the Eucharist. It's just very interesting that they shut the cameras off, and there wasn't a Mass, and they shut the cameras off before the meeting. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it's
so
very interesting.
They could, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of chasing the poll workers out in Pennsylvania so they could count the ballots and then tell us, oh, guess what? Biden won 95% of the ballots. This guy's a professional liar. And what this article is basically saying is that liars and hypocrites have a right to decide what a Catholic is rather than the Catholic Church itself. And
amen.
The idea, you didn't hear, here's two things you did not hear. Number one, you did not hear the Pope come out and endorse Joe Biden's statement that he's a good Catholic and should continue receiving communion. Number two, you did not hear the Pope come out and denounce the decision of the bishops to deny communion. So you didn't hear that. The worst thing that you can accuse the Pope here of, and I think it's a legitimate gripe, is his silence. His disturbing silence, because we know where the Pope stands on this issue. So why doesn't he come out and say it? That's the thing that bothers me.
John, at the time, the bishops, the American bishops was in a meeting in reference to this, and so he probably didn't want to trample on what they were, their meeting or whatever.
I'm talking about the Pope responding to Joe Biden's lie. Why hasn't the Pope responded to that? And that is a little bit troubling to me, because we know where the Pope stands, and I think, you know, we'll get Terry's opinion on it, but I think maybe that's the reason for his silence, is that the accusation is so ridiculous that the Pope assumes that everyone's going to see right through it, and it's such a ridiculous assertion that it's not even worth responding to. I think maybe that's what the Pope thinks, but I think he does need to respond to it, and I very much would like to see him respond to it.
Yeah, me too. And but the church teaches already, universally, that anyone in mortal sin should not receive Holy Communion.
Yes.
Without, because it hurts. I mean, you could go to hell for it.
The church also teaches that a person, a public figure that openly supports abortion, is in an automatic state of excommunication.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That is right.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that, Terry?
So, now, I don't want to ruffle no feathers here. I think that the fact that the Vatican and the Pope did not come out and publicly say Joe Biden is lying, we did not say that, is, look, like 2-3 years ago, when Pope Francis, every time he would come out and say something just incredibly against the Catholic Church, and I would defend him, and I just keep defending him and keep defending him, and then I had to step back and realize, okay, look, even St. Paul stood up to St. Peter. You know, when you do something wrong, when you say something wrong, you need to be called out on it. And I don't know what the Pope said. Of course, that was a private meeting. But when Joe Biden came out and said that the Pope said X, Y, and Z, if the Pope did not say that, then the Vatican should have come out and said, you know what, nah, that is not what happened, you know. And another thing is Bishop Wilton Gregory, the Bishop of D.C., is under Pope Francis. All Pope Francis got to do is say, look, this dude is in open public sin. Stop giving him communion. And all the bishops are answerable to the Pope, you know. And the fact that he had this cordial meeting not too long ago with Nancy Pelosi and now with Joe Biden. But if you look at the meeting he had with Donald Trump, he was all like frown and stoic and like, you know, and it just, I mean, why in the world are we as Catholics trying to please the world? The world is diametrically opposed to the Catholic Church. Why are we as Catholics, not just Pope Francis, but Bishop Barron and so many other of our Catholic clergy, why are we trying to be cordial with the world? The world is diametrically opposed to the Catholic faith. The world killed and crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are not friends. You know, I don't get it. I'm sorry. I get a little bit heated because, I mean, Pope Francis, we've had a lot of bad popes in the past, man. Pope Francis is indeed in the top three worst popes we've ever had.
At least in my lifetime. Well, if you're going by what the media says, it's hard to see. That's what makes it kind of difficult, too, because you never know. Because just like if you listen to the media over this whole thing about Kyle Rittenhouse, if you watch that media, they lied. They're not telling you the truth. And so you don't know what to believe when they're reporting on these agendas.
Yeah, when you talk about the worst, popes that we've ever had. I mean, you're talking about people like Alexander VI, you know, the Borgias. Okay, well, you know, really, really horrible people, murderers, adulterers.
John, now you got to remember, Pope Francis put out a document saying that civilly divorced and remarried Catholics can still be in communion with the church. That's bad, man. That's bad. You know what I'm saying?
Without having the annulment, they cannot receive the sacrament.
Yeah, that's church.
They can't receive. I think the thing about Pope Francis, I think that's a fair criticism that everyone can agree on. It's a fair criticism. As far as all the popes in my lifetime, he has been, without question, the worst communicator of all the popes that we've had. I don't think there's any argument about that. And this is a perfect example. Do I believe that Pope Francis actually said what Joe Biden claims he said? Not for a minute. Do I believe that Pope Francis is pro-abortion? Not for a minute. But the silence is deafening because the silence leaves pressure out there. Okay? If I get up every single day and I accuse Terry Delp of murder every single day, okay, and Terry never answers it, after a while people are going to start to think that Terry Delp is a murderer.
Yep.
Well, why isn't he defending himself? If he's innocent, why isn't he protesting this accusation? And you may believe that the accusation is so absurd it's not worth even responding to. If it was just as on a personal level that the Pope was just, you know, turn the other cheek when people accuse you or say bad things about you. If it was just a personal action, then it would be honorable. It would be a virtue. It would be something to look up to. But the scandal of the church, the scandal that's brought on the church by millions of people that are allowed to believe, that are left with the impression that, well, you know, maybe Joe Biden's telling the truth. The Pope didn't deny it. Of course, the Pope didn't take the other side either. The Pope didn't come out against what the bishop said either. So it's almost like, what's going on here? Is the Pope Switzerland? He doesn't seem to want to take a public stance. And it's, I'm not judging him. I'm not judging his heart. I actually think that he is a good man. And I think that he has done some good things for the church. As far as the communication, it's very, very frustrating.
John, I'm going to say, me personally, me, I think, and just looking at what, you know, the last 5 years, right, the Pachamama incident, and now he's meeting with, very cordially meeting with two crazy left-wing wannabe Catholics, you know what I'm saying?
All right, let me deal with those two issues one at a time, if I could. Okay.
Go ahead.
I think the Pacamama issue is much ado about nothing. I really do. But again, the Achilles heel is all the things that people read into it, all the things that people made out of it and assumed out of it, and the fact that the Pope has once again been completely silent about it. Now, if the Pope had come out and said, yeah, I know some people view this as an idol, but we were incorporating something from their culture into our celebration as a representation of the Blessed Mother. If he'd come out and said that in the same way that was it, who was it, Donald? Was it Pope, was it Saint Gregory that incorporated the Christmas tree, the tree into Christmas?
No, that came much later. It was, the patronage of the Germanic peoples. That
I'm trying to remember who the saint was. Anyway,
yeah.
But again, it is the indictment. It is the silence. Okay, it is the absolute silence. Now, dealing with the second point, I do have to say that Terry makes a very, very fair point here, because the Pope seemed to be openly hostile to Donald Trump, openly hostile to him. On a number of issues that he's free to disagree with and everything, but he also, on the other hand, has given the impression that he's pretty cozy with two absolute wolves in sheep's clothing, in Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden.
John, can I add to this a little bit? And I don't know where either you or Donald stand on this, right? But I've done a bunch of research. Indeed, within the next, 8 days, I might get fired behind this, right? But in all three of the vaccines available on the market right now, all three of them use the aborted cell line for either production, Johnson & Johnson, or testing, Moderna and Pfizer. So when the Bishop of Rome and the Vatican and all of these prominent clergy say, and they were using doublespeak when they justified us using it, basically what they were saying was the safety of our lives and of mankind is more important than the slaughter of children to the god Moloch. Is basically what I heard when they were doing their doublespeak justification of the vaccine. Everything that I'm seeing, brother, man, I'm surprised that I tuned in when I did, man. I called in a little bit late and I heard this topic, bro. Let me tell you something. The only reason I'm still Catholic right now is because of the Eucharist. I'm telling you, man, many times with the things that the Pope's saying, with some of the things I'm hearing some of these bishops saying, it just repulses me, man.
It's something. You know, Project Veritas uncovered, because I think that it's possible that they purposely deceived, which I could understand where Francis and Pope Francis and many of the church were deceived, because they were told that they were not using abortive cells, and that
brother Donald, if a regular Joe like me can do the research and find the answers, there's no way they were deceived. I'm a regular Joe with my greatest search tool is Google.
Yeah,
there's no way they were deceived. They knew.
Well, I mean, you can't always trust the results on Google, to be honest with you. But the issue is, I don't think the issue is that they're saying that lives are more important than sacrificing babies from Moloch. The issue is that I'm not saying I agree with the argument. I'm just being honest about what the argument is. And again, I'm saying what the argument is without saying that I agree with the argument. I'm just saying what the argument is that it has to do with proximity to sin.
That's what they said. That's what they said. They said you're removed from it because this was an aborted cell line from the late 1960s in Sweden, and it's not actually the cell line. It's been reproduced and reproduced and reproduced.
So there's
reproduction of the cell line.
Right. So there's an argument you can make in favor of what they're saying, and then there's an argument you can make against what they're saying. And the argument that you can make in favor of what they're saying is there's nothing that we can do today to save the babies that were lost 20 years ago. And that is that's a true and valid argument. But on the flip side of that is there's precedent that when you put even your implied stamp of approval on it, then you set the precedent, well, it was okay that it was done in the past, so it must be okay to do it in the future.
And here's my thing, John. I know you've probably seen me say this on Facebook a few times. I don't even identify with the pro-life movement no more. I am an abortion abolitionist. Abortion is the greatest evil facing mankind today. This is straight from the pits of hell that more black babies were killed in 2019 during abortion than were born. This is the greatest evil facing mankind. To me, there is no way to justify benefiting from it. I'm diabetic. I've been diabetic since I was like 7 years old. And if they came out with a miracle drug that was derived from an aborted fetus that would cure me of diabetes, I would say, no, I don't want it.
No. What I got here, guys, is even worse than what you're presenting. Because Project Veritas, they uncovered in interview with actual documented proof and evidence that the vice president of these different, these vaccines, we're not just using cell lines that was 20, 30, 40 years ago, but they're actually using active babies today, right now. And that's even worse because that means I didn't mean to
bring it off onto a side topic. You know, my whole thing is that this is – Pope Francis is bad, and when I pray for him at every Mass, I pray for him. I believe he is the duly elected Pope. Don't get me wrong. I pray for him, and my prayer is, God, please convert his soul. Convert him, because he's an old man. He's
Amen.
About to die, and I don't want him to go to hell, you know?
No, we need to pray for our shepherds.
I don't agree with Pope Francis on every issue either. I mean, I certainly disagree with him on his Saint Boniface.
Saint Boniface.
Yeah,
I knew who
it was. I just couldn't remember it off the top of my head.
Oh.
But it was Saint Boniface, correct? But I don't agree with Pope Francis on everything. His views on global warming to me are just whack. Okay. But one thing Pope Francis cannot do, one thing he absolutely cannot do, and we must believe this as Catholics, is he cannot bind the church in errant doctrine of faith and morals. Can't do it.
Right.
Holy Spirit will prevent him. Jesus
promised to Peter. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Jesus promised to Peter, the gates of hell will not prevail against us.
Now,
and Terry,
you know what?
There's one thing I really want to say here too, and I've heard that said before, and it breaks my heart when I hear it. And I understand where you're coming from when you say that the only reason why you're within the church is because of the Eucharist. Technically, all of us can say that, but when I think about all the martyrs, the saints that we look at, those who died so that we can have it.
Right.
I think there's a whole
right.
lot
yes,
more
sir.
Reason for us, you know, when you really
no,
look
no.
into it.
Yeah,
because...
No, you're right. You're right. And I said that because that's what keeps me. Man, I have a lot of friends that have went Greek Orthodox over this exact same issue, you know. And it's crazy that because Jesus said, man, you know, it's better if a millstone was tied around your neck and you cast yourself into the middle of the ocean than to lead one of these little ones astray, you know. And not just Pope Francis, many of our Cardinal Stupich, many of our leaders are leading people astray. And
oh, I agree with you. And you brought up Bishop Gregory. Here's a perfect example. One of the churches that's under the jurisdiction of Bishop Gregory is the largest Catholic shrine in North America, the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. The largest mm-hmm. Catholic shrine in North America is under his jurisdiction, he's publicly claimed that although he, personally thinks that Joe Biden's not right in Catholic teaching, he wouldn't deny communion to him. And I will say this, you haven't heard a statement like that from the Pope. You've not heard the Pope say that he would give communion to Joe Biden. So,
in fact,
hold on. Right after his visit with Biden, Joe Biden went to Mass at the Basilica of Rome. Right after the visit.
They did not have a Mass. He went to another church. He went to another church and received communion, and shame on the priest who gave him communion. I mean, it's an outrage. It's a moral outrage.
Well, see, if I'm the general of the army, and you and Donald are my captains, and y'all are going into villages and just killing civilians, y'all are going to get court-martialed, but if I know about it, I'm going to get court-martialed too. You know, I mean, I'm in charge. You know what I'm saying? He's in charge. The Bishop of Rome.
I agree with you. So, his guilt is by association. His guilt is implicit, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is,
and
what
don't
the
get
Pope
me wrong,
cannot
I'm
do.
I'm not taking away from his intellect, because he's very sharp. I mean, he's a chess player, and he knows how to move pieces across the board and use weaponized ambiguity. Like I said, every mass I'm praying for conversion.
So even if the Pope were an adulterer, for example, even if the Pope were an adulterer, he cannot come out and proclaim that adultery is permissible, or worse yet, that adultery is mandatory. He could not do that. So that alone is reason to stay in the Catholic Church. That no matter how off the reservation the current Pope may be, and be honest with you, I'll just be of all the popes that I've known in my life,
taken aback.
Are you there? Well, I will say this.
I will say this. Like I said, every mass I'm praying for is conversion. Not only him. You know, I pray for President Biden and Nancy Pelosi. I pray for the conversion, right? Because the battle is not flesh and blood, you know. It's the darkness of this world. That's where the real battle is. And so we got to realize that a lot of times the devil uses people in high places and leaders and, like I said, principalities of this world, you know. And I don't want to like make no predictions and they don't come true. But boy, I got some real misgivings about this Senate on synodality.
Well, this whole thing, and this is, I said this earlier in the article that I was responding to, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily should I say mortal sin? I think that goes without saying. Will have to answer for the body and blood of Christ. It is a sacrilege, and you will stand before Christ on judgment, and then that's where damnation comes in. And so that's why the church should be doing this.
You eat and drink damnation unto yourself. Damnation unto yourself.
And what is Biden doing and all these left-wing politicians that are doing this? They're causing young people to follow their example. And that's why we need to have courage among our shepherds and that they teach the truth. And that's what we should be doing.
We need to go back. Hopefully we get a really conservative pope the next time. And they will institute the straight Latin mass all over the world like it was prior to Vatican II, and just put us back on the right track.
We need to be placed on the right track, and that's something that the Holy Spirit will do. This is the Lord's church. It's not the Pope's church, or it's not. It's the Lord's church, and so He will take care of it. We have to have faith in that. But John, we are at that.
I just want to say one final thing. It could very well be that God has given us this pope at this time to kind of churn things up, to kind of see, because, you know, you don't value a thing until it's taken away from you. A lot of times you don't value what you have in life until it's taken away from you. So we may have had to have gone through a season where the fervency of our faith had to be taken away from us for a while so we realize what we've lost. I'm not going to say that I'm definitely not going to judge the Pope's soul. In fact, I do think that he's a very good man. I think he's a very decent man. I think he's a terrible communicator. I think he's misguided on some of the things that he believes, especially economic policy, some of his social policies, or what have you. Well, I mean, that's kind of iffy on what he just said there. But do I think this pope, in my mind, in my view, in my experience, do I think he measures up to a John Paul II or Benedict? I do not. I mean, I do not. But on the same token, that we have had worse popes. I mean, we've had some horrible, horrible popes. And again, I brought up, Alexander VI. Donald is a history major. He could probably name a few more right off the top of his head. But Alexander VI was probably the worst one, right, Donald? Wouldn't you agree?
I agree with that one.
The reason I made that statement is we've had some like really bad guys that did some really sinful things, right? But even in their sin, they didn't try to push that as a teaching of the church. What was the document that I can't remember the Latin name for the document where Pope Francis, the Senate in the Amazon Senate, when he was saying that divorced and remarried could receive.
I'll have to look that up. I will definitely look that up because the church has no power to change that. You go to Matthew chapter 19, and you'll see where the church comes at and the importance of the annulment.
All right, let me say this. I want to respond to that by responding to another issue because I want Donald to look it up, and maybe we'll do a future show on it. But I'll give you just an example, okay? They asked Pope Francis about homosexual people. Now, he was responding to people who struggle with that temptation when he said, "Who am I to judge them?" So they took that out of context and tried to make it sound like he was endorsing homosexuality. He was doing homosexual acts. He was doing no such thing. He was saying that we should have compassion for people who struggle with that particular cross, and that's something that I agree with. We should. So long as they are fighting that cross, that they are not embracing those temptations. So one example of how what he says is kind of twisted sometimes.
John, I agree with you 100%. And when he said that was good. But what he said in when he was addressing that was that the civil authorities, which the Pope has no authority over at all, he said that the civil authorities should legalize the civil union. The civil authorities
should legalize the
civil union.
No, he said what he was speaking about, if I recall correctly, he was speaking about health insurance and health benefits and the social safety net, and that civil authorities should make some provision for their social well-being. Am I correct, Donald? Was it something along those lines?
No, that's it. I'm not arguing with you there. But that's wrong.
And honestly, I disagree with him. I don't think that society has any obligation to make any kind of extraordinary provision for people who want to live a perverted lifestyle. So I disagree
with
the Pope on that.
Society is being attacked by Satan. And the way Satan is attacking society is to attack masculinity. They are attacking the man, the patriarchy. They are attacking the priest, prophet, and king of the household. And so this is the way Satan is attacking all of society. And these little, it's like death by a thousand cuts. These little statements that attack masculinity, that attack manhood, that attack the patriarchy of the home is what's tearing society apart.
Terry?
Yes.
There is a reason why you have joined Deeper Truth, because Deeper Truth has been solid in standing on all this to stand up for the right, for what is right, all along since its founding. So you are on the right team, man. And you're right.
Amen.
You're right, and we got to stand strong, but we're running out of time, guys. Terry, would you go ahead and give us a prayer of dismissal?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I will. I'm going to do like I normally do, and that's the Fatima prayer followed by Hail Mary. And let's do the prayer for the United States Conference of Bishops, and let's do the Hail Mary for Pope Francis.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Oh, my Jesus, forgive us of our sins. Save us from the fires of hell and lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you, John, and thank you, Terry, for participating with me tonight. The coverage of ABC's. We love the Eucharist. We love our Lord, and we have to stand strong, and that's what we're doing. And also, we wanted to celebrate also the not guilty verdict, Kyle Wittenhouse.
Amen.
That is good news for America. So good night, everybody.
Hey, and so everybody,
we will see you.
Everybody that prayed for Kyle during this trial, please take a moment and say a prayer of thanksgiving for your answered prayers.
Amen. Amen. So with that, we will say good night, everybody, and we will see you all the next time. Good night. Bye.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Grace, mercy, peace.